Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Welcome to the On the Clock New Orleans Saints Show. I'm your show host, Bo Marchant. We appreciate you taking some time and listening to one of these featured shows each night at 6:30 here on Blog Talk Radio, breaking down the team needs of all 32 NFL teams. We are 14 days away before the NFL draft gets kickstarted in New York City. And it's the best time of the year for us draft lovers. And I know personally, without free agency and everything else going on with the lockout, the draft is getting us by. Us football diehards is definitely getting us by for another season. But 14 days away on the clock for the Saints tonight. And we have a great show for you. We have Mike Triplett of the Times-Picayune. He's going to be joining us. And he covers the Saints every year. And he knows the team inside and out. And it's always great to get that perspective. We're also going to be joined with Roman Harper, the strong safety for the New Orleans Saints. And also, he came in a late addition, but Joy Fell also is going to be joining us on the show tonight. But as promised, Mike Triplett, the Times-Picayune, joining us. Mike, welcome to the show. We appreciate you taking some time this evening and joining us on the clock. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I was just getting the show started. We're 14 days away from the draft. I'm interested to get your take. I mean, a lot of the mock drafts or things you hear is the Saints looking at that outside linebacker position. What's the latest? What kind of guys have the Saints been, bringing in for those pre-draft visits?
Well, you can't tell much from the Saints pre-draft visits because they've pretty much hit every position group, and they've gone from guys who are projected to go in the top 10, top 15, to guys who are projected to go undrafted. So, a lot of those pre-draft visits are guys sometimes that the Saints or other teams have incomplete information on, have certain questions they want answered just to improve their scouting reports that they have. And they don't always tell you that that's the guy they want. I remember a couple years ago, they went with Cedric Ellis in the first round, the guy they wanted all along, and never visited with him. The second round, Tracy Porter, a guy they love, never visited him. So can't always tell. You say outside linebacker, and it is true that I think that is the Saints' biggest need, since they currently actually don't have any of their starters back from last year unless they decide to re-sign them in free agency. And they definitely need to get younger regardless. The only problem is it seems like a dinosaur now that they run a 4-3 defense, but they run a true 4-3 defense, and they want their outside linebackers and their strong side linebacker to be guys who are linebackers first and foremost, can cover tight ends, can tackle, can stop the run. And if they're pass rushers, that's a bonus. But I know a lot of people look at the Saints do need a pass rusher, but look at guys like Brooks Reed and to an extent Akeem Ayers. And I don't know that those kind of guys are perfect fits for the Saints. Obviously, if they love a guy, they'll make him fit. But some of those outside linebackers that are more like 3-4 outside linebackers might not really fit what the Saints need.
Nice. And a guy I'm interested to hear your take on, I know he was dinged up his rookie year. He kind of played sparingly last year. Was the 2009 pick in the fourth round of Stanley Arnox out of Wake Forest. He was a guy I was particularly high on. Do you think he's ever going to turn that corner and be what they expect out of him?
I don't know. They are. They've always been very high on him. They were high on him at the time they drafted him. They were really high on him heading into last season, and injuries have just really been an unfortunate problem with him, and really the same with another outside linebacker that they're very high on, Jonathan Casillas, undrafted free agent out of Wisconsin that same year. Both of those guys, could potentially become starters for them down the road and as early as this year if they can stay healthy, and unfortunately that's been a big if with both of them. But, yeah, I know Greg Williams loves Arnu, and he always loves to point out that he was even had better production than Aaron Curry, who was drafted fourth overall out of Wake Forest that same year.
Yeah, definitely, and that just shows you, that's what I always think about. Curry had a great year, and then, Arnox is right there along with him. Mike, you get to see this team up close. I mean, you know him inside and out. I mean, you know the obvious needs. I mean, tell the listeners out there, when you watch this team and, you see him in practice and on game day, I mean, what direction would you like to see this team go and, kind of address some needs when the draft rolls around in 14 days?
Well, two things about the Saints and their needs and the way they approach the draft. And, I always have to educate the fans because I've really sort of been educated by the Saints through this draft process. I mean, the temptation is always to say, okay, what is their greatest need immediately? And like we said, they don't have a starter at strong side linebacker right now or weak side linebacker right now. But that's just not how the Saints view the draft. They never view the draft that way, mostly because they realize that a rookie's peak years are probably going to be year two, year three, and the needs are going to be so different. They change drastically from year to year. And so they've made some great decisions in years past. You look at the Saints' first-round draft picks over the last decade, I bet they've hit more than any other team. And a lot of times, dating back to 10 years ago with Deuce McAllister, the most famous example, they drafted him when they had Ricky Williams, and everyone thought, you know, what are they doing? And Deuce becomes their all-time leading rusher, and then they go with three defensive ends in about a four-year span with Darren Howard, Charles Grant, and then Will Smith. And Will Smith turns out to be the best of the bunch for them when they didn't really seem to need a defensive end. So, you know, obviously they will look at some need positions, and sometimes it's a perfect marriage, like with Malcolm Jenkins a couple years ago. But they really are a team that believes in that best available player. So, especially when you're picking 24th and later
yeah,
in the
definitely.
Draft. So, yeah, so I can't say for sure that they're going to target a specific position. But that all being said, I think they need, if they're close, or if they can identify one of these defensive ends that they think could work for them, I think this would be a great year for them to draft a defensive end for two reasons. One, we've mentioned Will Smith, who's getting older now. He's going to be 30 this year. There are other starters even older, Alex Brown, and they don't have a lot of young talent waiting behind those guys. They definitely could use an injection of, you know, youth and athleticism right away to help with that pass rush as a rotational end. And it's such a hard position to find in free agency or the draft. And this year, as the scouts seem to think, there's 8 or 9 defensive ends with first-round grades, which means there could be 3 or 4 of them available in the Saints draft. So this might be the year for them to really do their due diligence at that position and see if there's a guy who fits. And I think, you know, as I said, they run a 4-3 defense, and it does look like there's some good, sizable ends who fit as an end in a 4-3, you know, 280 pounds and above. So it's possible that if everything comes together, that would be a good position for them to target this year. Other than that, anywhere in the front seven would be their highest priority.
Yeah, that makes total sense, totally. And Mike Triplett, the Times Picayune, and you can also see him at NOLA.com, NOLA.com. You can find out his work on the internet as well. Mike, I'm curious, you know, I look at that running game, and I know that, you know, I think that was one thing that was kind of missing on this team this past year compared to the year before when they made their Super Bowl run. But, you know, Pierre Thomas was banged up, Bush was banged up, Chris Ivory, great play, but he got banged up. Is this possibly a position that this, you know, this team could look to take, you know, hold of, you know, just say if a Mike Ingram or Mark Ingram's laying there, you know, at the end of the, you know, the first round, would they go after a guy like that?
Well, it's definitely possible, but I guess what you just ran through last year is sort of the reason to do it and the reason not to do it. It's just such a injury-prone position.
Yeah.
I think league-wide you're seeing teams, it's so hard to invest in a running back who, you know, may not give you a full season, may not give you a full career's worth of games. Now, I actually am writing a story for Sunday's paper on this. I'm looking back at the pick of Deuce McAllister 10 years ago and then a sidebar on why running backs, you know, there aren't a lot of deuces, it seems like, coming into the league anymore. If there's a special guy, teams will still draft him. Sean Payton said Adrian Peterson went 7th, and if they had it to do over again, he'd go even higher this year. But as for, I just think teams don't reach anymore to find that running back that they need for a couple of reasons. They're brittle, the position gets hurt, and obviously you prove you can find these guys later in the draft, and you plug them in kind of to roles, situational roles. So I think absolutely the Saints will add to their running back mix in the draft, and they visited with a handful of running backs, but I would expect them maybe to do that with their second-round pick or one of their third-round picks, if not later. You know, both Pierre Thomas and Chris Ivory came as undrafted free agents, so it's a position where you can find guys later, and I would think they would look to do that. It's possible they're in love with Mark Ingram, and if he fell to 24, they'd say, you know, we can't pass on this guy, that best available player, you know, theory that I was talking about. But I just would think that you can maybe grab your running back who's going to add to that mix of Pierre Thomas, Reggie Bush, Chris Ivory, add some fresh legs to that mix, maybe more in the third round.
Nice. And, you know, with a free agent kind of being upheld with the lockout and whatnot, Who are some of the prime free agents that this team are they're looking to keep, and who are some of the free agents you think they might try to bring in when this all gets settled and gets going?
Well, if they're able to bring back all the guys they want to bring back, I think that would be about it for them. They had the third highest payroll in the NFL last year. That payroll is only going to keep going up when they re-sign Drew Brees and re-sign some of these guys. So they're not really in a position to be big players in the open market, I don't think. But they do have some guys, and you mentioned one of them, Roman Harper, who you said you're going to be talking to. I think he's right near the top of their list. They'd have a huge hole at strong safety if they didn't bring him back. Obviously, his season ended on a real sour note last year when he struggled against the Seattle Seahawks. But really, up until December last year, I think he was there playing as their defensive MVP, and he's been a real strong playmaker for them, especially since Greg Williams has gotten there. So he would be a guy that would be maybe their number one priority among the guys that they haven't re-signed. And I think tight end David Thomas is another guy they definitely want to bring back. Then, you know, there's a few question marks here and there. Do they want to bring back Jonathan Goodwin at center? Do they want to bring back Scott Shanley at outside linebacker? And I think the biggest question mark of all would be left tackle Jermon Bushrod. I think the Saints would really benefit if they went back to last year's rules of free agency and he was a restricted free agent, so they could sign him to a one-year deal again and give Charles Brown a little more time to develop. But if Jermon Bushrod became an unrestricted free agent as a left tackle with starting experience in this league, he would cost a lot of money to keep, and it'd be very interesting to see if they could afford to and if they were willing to pay long-term dollars to him. Left tackle could all of a sudden become a pretty big hole for this team if they lost him.
Nice. And great insight. Again, Mike Triplett from the Times Picayune, one of the top beat writers there out at covering football in the entire nation, and that's no lie. Mike, great stuff. I'm interested to ask you as well. I mean, when you look at this team, I mean, was it they were supposed to win, I mean, going up to Seattle? I mean, was it supposed to be such a landslide win? Did you think that's why they kind of came up short, that, you know, nobody was giving the Seahawks a chance?
Well, let's say this about the Seahawks in that game. If the Seahawks had played the way they played in that game for the majority of the season, nobody would have considered that an upset. I don't think a quarterback played a better game against the Saints than Matt Hasselbeck did on that day. I mean, even though the Saints blew some coverages, he was throwing footballs in a bucket from 40 yards out. He was just on fire that day and gave them a lot of problems. It was stunning that their defense struggled as much as they did in that game. Although the offense did keep pace, it was 40-something to 30-something on that day, and you know, the defense had never let anyone have a day like that against them all season. So that was a stunning part. But I don't think it was that they were unprepared or taking them lightly or anything like that. I think the Saints just, you know, they didn't have a complete team for one thing. Malcolm Jenkins at free safety, who they really could have used in that game, was not available that day because of injury. And obviously they just didn't play their best. Roman Harper struggled in his coverage at the tight end, and Seattle came up with some plays that exposed some things the Saints were doing defensively. So, you know, it was Seattle's day, and it wasn't the Saints' day. But, you know, all in all, an 11-5 season with a playoff loss, I'd say it was probably a disappointment for a team that won the Super Bowl the year before. But if that's your down year when they had all those problems at running back, the injuries piling up on defense and not as many turnovers as the year before, if that's your down year, I think they are pretty equipped to bounce back and be Super Bowl contenders again pretty quickly this year.
No, definitely. They're right there in the mix. And, them taking down the Falcons late in the year, I think, you know, in Atlanta. And then, they crushed the Seahawks when they played them earlier in the season, too. I mean, that was just dismantling. I mean, I knew Drew had, five or six touchdowns that day or something like that, so.
Seattle's defense never slowed down the Saints in their two matchups this year, but it was just a matter of the Saints' defense not showing up on that one day, and what a bad day for them not to show up.
Yeah, definitely. And, Mike, before we let you go, I mean, you played GM for the New Orleans Saints in 14 days, and that first-round draft pick falls into your hands. Who are you going to take if they're there on the board?
Well, the mock draft that I did for our newspaper, I had them taking Cameron Hayward from Ohio State. I know a lot of fans don't love that idea of that pick because he's not a sack machine at defensive end. Up until the Sugar Bowl, he only had a handful all of last season as a senior at Ohio State. But what I think the Saints might like about a guy like him is he's a big guy. He's versatile. He can play against – he can pass rush at times, but he can also hold stout against the run and even slide into tackle if they're doing different formations. They love that kind of versatility out of their defensive ends. Although, you know, I'm not in the scouting room. Maybe they have a guy like Iowa's Adrian Claiborne rated higher. Maybe they're hoping a guy like Purdue's Ryan Kerrigan or Cal's Cameron Jordan slips to them at end. And like I said, I would not be surprised if anybody in the front seven has the highest grade on their board, maybe a Temple's Muhammad Wilkerson or a defensive tackle, big nose tackle like Phil Taylor from Baylor, wouldn't surprise me. And then I think the wild card pick that wouldn't make me fall out of my chair would be an offensive tackle, since there seems to be a lot of them graded as late first-rounders. And we just talked about the uncertainty with Tremaine Bushrod. That's a position that you can never ignore talent. If the highest grade on their board is an offensive tackle, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Excellent. Well, hey, Mike, we appreciate you taking some time. A very busy year for this time, and we appreciate you taking some time to join us on the clock for the New Orleans Saints.
All right, no problem.
Thank you. And that is Mike Triplett of the Times-Picayune. You can also check out his work at NOLA.com. And great insight. I love getting these guys to cover these teams because they know them inside and out. I mean, did you see how quick he was able to just tell you about, you know, Jonathan Casillas, you know, what year he was drafted? He wasn't drafted, but he knew that. And that's the kind of insight, you know, you love these guys to be able to pick up there. They see these teams every day. They follow them. That's how they make their living. And when we get these guys on the show, all you listeners out there, I mean, take appreciation of it because, you know, you're hearing what these guys, you know, these guys are the minds of these teams, if you will. I mean, they follow them. They see them every day. They talk to them every day. They follow them on the road and out at home. So they know these teams inside and out. Great insight. And, you know, he was talking about that front seven. You know, he said, you know, that front seven is going to be where the Saints probably look to go in this upcoming draft class. But he also said, and this is what I think everyone should pay note of, a couple of the guys they drafted, J.C. Porter and Cedric Ellis, are guys they did not have. They did not have in for visits, but those are guys that they wanted all along. So maybe some of the guys that you won't see. Draft. So you might want to actually going now. Okay. That is how the draft game works. And maybe everybody's already hot to that trail, and maybe they're going to change it up and take one of those guys. But that makes the draft fun. That's what makes predicting and mocking, you know, one of the funnest times of the year as well. On the clock, New Orleans Saints. I'm your show host, Bo Marchand. We're also going to be joined by Joy Bell, the running back for the New Orleans Saints, a rookie. He had a very interesting year. Undrafted, he went to Buffalo. Then he went to the Eagles. He went to the Colts. And then he ended up with the Saints right prior to their trip to Seattle, where they ended up you know, going down on the wrong end of this for all the Saint fans. But Joy was part of that, and he's going to be joining us. And then two-time Pro Bowler Roman Harper, he's going to be joining us as well here on the clock for the NFL Draft Bible on the clock New Orleans Saints show. Once again, we're looking for Joy Bell. He's going to be joining us as well on the show. And like I said, once again, Roman Harper. You know, the thing that I look at the Saints is I look at that front line of, you know, they brought in Alex Brown. Will Smith has kind of been the foundation defensive end for them. Cedric Ellison, you know, he plugged that hole in the middle. He's that run stuffer. But I think, you know, the ages of those ends, I think, is definitely something that I think they should look at. You know, even Jimmy Wilkerson, I mean, you know, kind of the backup. A lot of those guys have about 8, 9, 10 years on those legs. So I think that's definitely an area that team needs to address. And when you look back at that Super Bowl run season, I think the thing that stuck out to me about that Super Bowl season the Saints had is they reminded me of the St. Louis Rams in terms of it wasn't not only the big plays on offense, and we all know what Drew Brees does and, you know, what kind of player he is, but it was the Darren Sharper interceptions week after week and all those big plays by the defense. That's what I thought that kind of reminded me of that St. Louis team, where both sides of the ball were so potent. There was never any calm time. I mean, they were just so dominant, and the big plays kept coming and coming. So I think that's what made it interesting. And as promised, we're joined with Joy Bell, and he's familiar with the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight shows, and we've been following him through. Last year at this time, we were talking about him and this upcoming last year's upcoming draft, But Joy, how you been, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing really well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's been a long time since we talked, but you know, Saints. I know you came in with Saints right at the end of the season. What was that like? I know you had a few stops. You started with the Bills, the Eagles, the Colts, and you ended up with the Saints. I mean, tell us a bit about this ride over the last.
Connection. I can't. We're breaking up really bad here.
I think we're getting Joy again. We're going to have to have him back in. But hey. He's coming on. We had him there. It was that close. And get a good, clean phone call connection. And, hey, when that happens, there's nothing you can do. We're going to try to get Joy right back here on the show. Hopefully we get him on. I'm going to wait for Joy to call back into the show. Waiting to see that number pop up, and then we'll get him back on. But Joyka, he was the Harlan Hill Trophy winner from the D2. He went down to the Senior Bowl. He also went down to the Combine last year. And like I said, he's calling back in now. Let's see if we can get this thing corrected and get Joyka rolling here on the clock. New Orleans Saline Saints talking a little bit of football. And, you know what? We're not getting through there. He's just not allowing that phone call to come in.
Back.
All right, Joy, you there, my man?
Right back like I love some.
So, Joy, you know, I was telling the folks, I mean, you started with the Bills, you went to the Eagles, the Colts, you ended up with the Saints. Talk a little bit about how those last 12 months have been for you.
The last 4 months for me was very a good life experience, you know, just with the NFL. You know, you can be here today and be gone today. It's just how it works. Luckily, every team that unfortunately I left wanted me to stay, but my situation did not allow me to. So, you know, I talked to a lot of vets, you know, a lot of players, and the vets basically told me, you know, you're gonna find, kept telling me I will find a home, and that's exactly what I did, and I hope I'll be with the Big Easy for the rest of my career.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm interested to ask George as well. I mean, you know, the Saints, you caught on with them late in the year. I mean, we're on the Saints. What was it like working with them, you know, while you were with them? I know, you know, since the end of the season, you know, it's kind of with the lockout, it's been hard probably to get real acclimated to what they do. But, you know, how's that time been as a New Orleans Saint?
It was actually a good day. It set me with open arms. I came in to the running back room, and Reggie Woods was the first running back to greet me. You know, had a good, you know, it was just a good vibe in the room. As far as me learning the playbook, you know, Coach Brett, he sat down with me on the, you know, one-on-one after practice, before practice. Even on the plane to Seattle, again, I didn't play. I believe we sat on the plane together for a couple hours just going over the playbook. And, you know, they really wanted me to get caught up with the plays, and they were really looking forward to seeing big things out of me the following week. But unfortunately, we lost, and I wasn't able to go out there and produce. But I will be here next year, and I will be there next year, and we will see, you know, we'll be able to see me produce next season.
Nice. And we're also having Roman Harper on after you tonight. I mean, have you been able to kind of create some quick relationships with any of those New Orleans Saint teammates?
You say you have an interview with Rod Harper?
Roman Harper's coming on later in the show.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good friend of mine, yeah. Actually, he's the one who told me about the Saints before I left the Eagles. He was telling me about how close the guys were, and he really liked it there. So that pretty much helped me with my decision.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, Joyke, I mean, all those players, I mean, you were going through this last year. I mean, you went through the Senior Bowl, you went through the Combine and the Pro Days and the private workouts and all that such.
I mean, can you believe it's 1 year later and, you know, now you're kind of just in the midst of a lockout, you know? But, I mean, all those guys going through this, I mean, what can you tell them to get prepared for the next 14 days when draft day rolls around?
Just stay relaxed. I mean, if it's meant to be, it'll be. One thing I realized, you know, all the hard work, you know, everything that they've done so far, the hard work is done. Now, all they have to do now is just sit back and relax. You know, it's out of their hands now. You know, don't stress yourself about it. I mean, this is the same advice that was given to me, but at the same time, draft day, I was still biting my fingernails. So regardless of the situation, you know, you might get a little frustrated here and there if you don't go where you want to go. But if it gets to that point, just go outside, take a walk. Go outside, take a walk. You know, you'll be all right.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm curious to ask as well, Joyke. I mean, you know, the draft, when you were there waiting to hear your name called, I mean, was there anywhere that you thought you might go? Or, I mean, sometimes guys hear a lot of teams saying, you know, we're going to take you if you're there.
Yeah, you know, I had got a couple of grades behind the scenes, a couple of grades from a couple of teams, and you know, it's about, I think a team had me going low third to high fourth all the way, and I had teams that had me going sixth. So I thought I was going to fall in between there. And once the sixth round came around, that's when I had to go outside to take my walk.
Huh.
And so... So that was basically it for me. It's not about where you start, it's about where you finish. So I keep that in the front of my mind, and every day I go out to work, I work out with that on the edge of my mind, and any team that will throw with me will pay. I promise you that.
Oh, definitely. Well, hey, I mean, I believe that. And like I said, once again, Joyke Bell, the New Orleans Saints running back, joining us here on the NFL Draft Bible Players Bar Alert Show. He was the Harlan Hill Award winner for the D2 Player of the Year. And if you folks aren't familiar with his game, you can go back and look at those stats. I mean, this dude was rushing for 250 a pop, 30 carries per game. Very durable, very compact running back, sees the field well. And like you said, you know, his rookie season, he didn't catch on with anybody for the whole year, but he ended up with the Saints, and all the teams that wanted him wanted to keep him. But, you know, the way the NFL is set up and the waiver wire and whatnot, that's just not a player's choice when teams pick him up. Joyke, we appreciate you taking some time. And, hey, man, we'd love to get you back on for your own show just to catch up with you and, you know, and break things down a little bit more about Joyke Bell.
Hey, Mozart,
excellent,
come on,
man.
Bring another guy on. Let me interview him. Go and just have some fun, relax.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Well, hey, Joyke, appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck,
no
man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yep, that is Joyke Bell, the New Orleans Saints running back, and like I said, I'm very high on Joyke Bell, and I still think he's, you know, for any of you fantasy football people out there, I'm telling you, this is one guy you want to tuck away in the back pocket and just stick, because in a rainy day, this kid's going to get a shot. And, you know, he had some nice plays with the Buffalo Bills during the preseason. He broke a couple of nice runs, and he was really making a name. And I really thought he was going to stick there just due to some of the injuries and whatnot. But, you know, one thing led to another, and they didn't decide to keep him. And he ended up with the Eagles, and then he went on to the Colts, and he went on to the Saints, and I mean, I know Buffalo's had their issues, but, you know, when you look at the Colts and the Saints and the Eagles, you're talking about three of the top organizations, you know, in the last 10 years when it comes to football success. So those teams definitely know what they're doing, and they definitely see the talent that young man, Joyke Bell, possesses. And like I said, all good enough. We're on the clock with the New Orleans Saints, and we're also going to have Roman Harper. Came out in 2006 out of Alabama. He was a second-round pick. He's made a couple Pro Bowls for the Saints, and it's going to be interesting to get his take and find out, you know, what his thoughts are in this off season. It's interesting season with the lockout and a lot going on, but these guys have to stay true to form. They are professionals, so they, you know, they keep their bodies right, they keep their bodies fit and ready to go. Because you know, as you know, the players and the owners, they met in mediation today, court ruling, and you know, hopefully things progress very quickly. And hopefully, I'm telling you, hopefully within the next 14 days, they get this thing ironed out, and there's no more lockout, and we can get free agency rolling, and then we can have a kind of an NFL draft with no clouds, you know, involved with it. You know, everyone's going to have a clear vision of what they need to do and all those problems that they want to take care of in terms of teams taking care of draft needs. They'll be taking care of those prior to the draft, and I think that's going to benefit a lot of teams because, you know, a lot of these people that are with these teams, I mean, back in 87, you know, that was the last strike. I mean, there wasn't free agency then, so, you know, teams didn't have to worry. So a lot of these guys that you find in these front offices really haven't ever dealt with what it's like, you know, not having free agency to kind of go out and, you know, fill those holes and the pieces you need to fit, you know, to get the team over the hump. You know, that, you know, it's going to be a very pressing time. And, you know, all those teams with, you know, it's the quarterback position so easy to talk about. You know, you look at a Kevin Cove or a Carson Palmer, and then you look at these teams that have needs, the Vikings, the Niners, the Titans. You know, what direction do these teams go in? I mean, do they address it in the draft? Do they feel comfortable enough with this draft class? Because, you know, it's kind of, it's not a secret. I mean, most of the guys in this upcoming draft class, at least quarterback-wise, what we know now, not too many people feel safe that these guys can just come in and have early success. I think a lot of guys believe that these guys all need a little bit of seasoning, a little bit of maturing before you can just throw them to the dogs and put them out there on the field. And that's from the first pick to the, you know, the guy that goes on college free agent in this thing. I mean, a lot of these guys aren't considered guys that you can just throw in there. And, you know, not many rookies are. I mean, Sam Bradford's the exception. I mean, you know, these guys, you're not supposed to do that. I mean, you know, he's just very talented. He was poised to be successful. And so, I mean, when you look at, you know, the Blaine Gabberts, the Cam Newtons, the Jake Lockers, the Ryan Mallets, the Christian Ponders, the T.J. Yates, I mean, all these guys, I mean, the Colin Kaepernicks, you know, these guys aren't considered, you know, the prima facie type guys that are just going to come in and step in on the playoffs. So, I mean, we got to just say the Bengals. I mean, if they really think Palmer isn't coming back, do they address that pick, the fourth pick with the quarterback, or do they kind of go out and say, you know what, hey, maybe we can get a Kevin Cole? You know, so I think that's where the very interesting trickiness of this whole draft is going to break down and how teams, you know, how teams kind of build the team without free agency. And that's one thing I'd like to see, you know, free agency get kicked off and this lockout kind of get uplifted and the teams get back to the norm, because it's going to be very hectic in those war rooms as teams, you know, line up on April 28th to get things underway and there's no free agency, because you just cannot predict where these guys are going to go. You know, once that clock hits, free agency strikes, and, you know, players are traveling across the nation taking the team visits. I mean, you know, we had Ken Leard on the On-the-Clock Steelers show a couple days ago. We're talking about some of the big needs for the Steelers. I mean, obviously, offensive line, but that defensive back position. Ike Taylor's a free agent. They put the tag on Lamar Woodley. I mean, what did the Steelers do when that pick rolls around at 31? You know, how can they assume that Ike's going to return? You just don't know. So, I mean, even if they had their choice of maybe they want two guys, you know, this or that one. Maybe one's a DB. Maybe one's an offensive lineman. You know, do they just have to be forced to take that defensive back even though they got Ike, you know? Free agent, is he coming back? You don't know. So that, you know, also I hope I kind of explained the dilemma that's going to happen on draft day without these teams. I mean, the Vikings, Sidney Rice, a receiver. I mean, you know, he had one great year. He was kind of banged up last year. And then the whole Favre thing, that was a train wreck. Jeff Webb came in, played great a couple games, but they're really not sure what they have in him. So another, you know, again, free agency, Sidney Rice, does he stay? I know I heard Leslie Frazier, their coach, talk about how they felt comfortable that he was coming back. But you know what? You never know if a guy's coming back. I mean, like I said, it takes one phone call. Hey, Sidney, once you get on a plane, we're going to send you. Why don't you fly out here? We're going to wine and dine you, you know, and then we're going to show you this big fat paycheck. You know, that could change your perspective on things. You know, you might like where you're at, but then you might see a nicer side. You know, and you know, sometimes they say the grass isn't always greener, but you know, sometimes it is a little greener on the other side. You might find something that you never realize. So, you know, that's a lot to take in when you're looking at, you know, what goes on and. In the NFL. We're on the clock with the New Orleans Saints. We had Mike Triplett of the Times-Picayune, and you can also check out his work at NOLA.com, and he also was talking about this Sunday he's going to have another Saints, this McAllister, in the running back position, so that's definitely something you're going to want to check out. We also had Joyke Bell, who spent his rookie year kind of bouncing around from different teams, but he found himself, you know, with the New Orleans Saints, and he was a late addition there. I mean, right before the playoffs, he got signed down there, so it wasn't like he was with them long enough to really, you know, get, I think, into the nooks and crannies of it all. But our next guest, Roman Harper, has been since 2006. He's been roaming that secondary, and he's been one of the stout players. And like I said, he's going to be joining us here on the NFL Draft Bible. It's On the Clock, New Orleans Saints style. And if you caught this show late, just simply go to the site or Blog Talk Radio or www.nfldraft.com, and you know, you can check out the podcast. You can check out the show. And like I said, it's good stuff. And we're trying to get Roman here on the show. We have about 9 minutes remaining. Man, did this show fly! And like I said, we're trying to get Roman Harper to give us a call in before we wrap things up. You know, and hear his insight on some New Orleans Saints. And I'm excited to get his take on that Super Bowl season and, you know, just how explosive that defense was. And, you know, I think when you're on the defensive side of the ball and those turnovers are coming at such a rapid rate, you know, it just makes probably playing that much more fun, you know, especially when the defense is almost like an offense. You know, they're making plays and doing so much, you know, offensively, in terms of, you know, turnovers and getting points on the board. And I think that was one of the reasons they stood out so much when they ended up beating the Colts. And you know what? I mean, Peyton Manning's driving, Wishbone gets to jump on the ball, another big play. And I'm telling you, that was so much is made about Drew Brees, and it's well-deserved. But the running game the Saints had during the Super Bowl run and that defense, I'm telling you, if you go back, it was just off the charts. I mean, the way those guys were running the ball, I mean, it was just awesome. And like I said, this isn't by any means. I mean, Drew Brees is just, you know, sick. And, you know, I always wondered why they even, you know, you look at teams, I mean, they drafted Phillip Rivers. What didn't the San Diego Chargers see in Drew Brees? I mean, you never just say, hey, we have Adrian Peterson, so we're going to take the next Adrian Peterson and trade one. They didn't feel comfortable with Drew Brees at that point. You know, so what clicked? And that's what I always want to kind of think. I mean, think about that. I mean, they have Drew Brees. They take LaDainian Thomas in the first. They take Drew Brees in the second. A few years later, they use Phillip Rivers. They use that, you know, first pick on Eli. They make the trade. Boom. They bring Phillip Rivers in. Next thing you know, Drew Brees plays. Then he's, you know, he's out. You find that ironic? I mean, what happened with Drew Brees, you know, in that short period of time from the time Phillip Rivers got there with the Chargers that made him so good? And how did not the coaching staff, you know, of the Chargers see that? You know, because I don't care what anyone says. There's no way you draft another guy when you have a guy that talented on your team, because there's so many other, you know, ways they could have used that pick to, you know, address other needs. I mean, think about that. I mean, you know, so I think stuff like that just not mentioned enough. It's not talked about, you know. Are you with me? I mean, you know, I'm looking at the chat room. I mean, any thoughts on that? You know, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy stuff, you know. I mean, I don't know. It's mind blowing, you know, when you think about some of the things that happen, you know, on draft day. And, you know, another thing, I mean, we think, you know, but once again, we have Roman Harper joining us here on the show Roman, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. I'm Beau Marchand with the NFL Draft Bible. We're here on the clock for the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, you were part of that Super Bowl run, part of that, you know, history-making run you guys made. Last year wasn't, you know, the ending you were looking for. But, you know, bring the fans listening out there. What's it been like since you got drafted in the second round by the Saints? I mean, what's it like being a New Orleans Saints?
Man, it really is just a blessing. You know, I got there right after Hurricane Katrina with, you know, Coach Payton and those guys. We had a really good draft class. You know, nobody really thought much of our draft class besides Reggie, you know, who was, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner, and he's done so much for us in that city. You know what I mean? He sold many tickets, made large plays, and scored a lot of touchdowns for us. But, you know, they got me in the second round, and we got all-pro guard Jari Evans in the fourth round. We got Rob Ninkovich in the fifth round, who's actually doing really well for the New England Patriots right now as a 3-4 outside linebacker. So him, and then we got the steal of the draft was Marcus Colston in the seventh round, second to last pick. So right there, you had four starters right off the bat for the Saints our rookie year. And we all went out there and performed, and we just kind of stuck together. And helped get this thing turned around with Coach Payton, and then when he brought in Greg Williams and everybody, the defense, he wanted a defense with an attitude, and Greg definitely brought that the last couple of years. And we're getting things going the way we want it, and people just don't come to see the offense score touchdowns now. They come to watch the defense play, too, and that's how you get a home field advantage. The crowd gets really into it, and it really helps us out.
And, you know, and Rob, I'm so glad you brought that up because, I mean, you reminded me of the St. Louis Rams the year that they won it all because that defense was so explosive. It made so many plays. That's kind of who I thought you guys reminded me of, just because the offensive side, you guys were so potent. I mean, that Super Bowl year, I mean, you guys were just getting turnovers and making big plays. I mean, how much fun was it knowing that you guys were just going to make plays and cause turnovers and just wreak all kinds of havoc on opposing offenses?
Well, you know, that was the biggest thing. We got better defensively in every stat last year, but the year before we were just we're all of a big play defense. You know, we gave up a lot, but we always made a big play some kind of way. We got a turnover. Sharp was picking up an intercept and everything. So, you know, that's just what it was. You know, last year teams tried to play us a little bit differently. They wanted to slow it down. They weren't trying to let our offense on the field. Our offense didn't have as many big plays either. So the year before we could turn it so much more into a track meet. We get out there and we score, and teams would have to try and keep up with our offense. And but we had so many offensive, injuries offensively, especially at running back last year. So that kind of threw us off a little bit and put more on Drew's hand and in his arm. So hopefully we can get some of our balance back this year. We can stay healthy, and that allows us to dictate some more and be able to dominate. And our offense can, keep the ball more ball control, and then have a little bit more diversity, and then they can go downfield and Drew can connect with those deep threats that we got. And then it just puts more pressure on the opposing team offensively that they got to go out there and try and force some things. And that's when we're at our best, third down and long situations where we can pass, rush the passer, do out our different blitz packages and things like that. And that's when we get all of our turnovers.
Excellent. Once again, Roman Harper, the two-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl winner from the New Orleans Saints, joining us here on the clock, talking New Orleans Saints draft football. I'm always going to like to get your perspective. I mean, when you were going through this draft process in 2006, was there a team you thought you might be going to that wasn't the Saints? I mean, some guys, just for whatever reason, you think you might be going somewhere else.
Yeah, I thought I was going to go to Carolina. That's the only team that actually came and interviewed me. No other team interviewed me. I didn't have any, meetings or anything like that. So, you look on the internet and all they do is talk negative about you. So my only advice I would give any player coming out is don't read the internet. It's only going to be negative. They're only going to doubt you. And all these guys that they talk about now on ESPN, stock falling up and down, at the end of the day, they're all going to be first-round picks. You know what I mean? The guys that they're talking about are all going to be first-round guys. And that's the thing. They're so easy. Everybody gets caught up in all these guys that they're talking about, and they're all bona fide players. They've all produced and done really well in college, and, they're going to be great pros. They just got to go out there, stay focused, and stay humbled, and just continue to do the things that's gotten them there so far. And I think they'll all be fine. But my biggest thing was I thought I was going to go to Carolina, and then I got drafted by the Saints out of nowhere. My agent mentioned the Saints one time just in a brief conversation, but, it was nothing like – anything, I really thought I was going to go there, but I was definitely excited when I got drafted by him. All my teammates from college laughed at me, though, because they said we never win a game because the Saints suck and that we never go to the playoffs. And look at that.
When you finally got that Super Bowl ring, how satisfying was it to kind of teach your buddies and say, how do you like me now?
Man, you have no idea. If I could just walk around with it, I don't trust myself with it enough. I'm scared I'd lose it. So if I could just walk around with it, man, you have no idea. It is blinging. It's like 49, 50-something diamonds all in it. It's amazing. The feeling it's really hard to explain, the feeling you had after we won that game, after the clock ticked down to zero, after we made that last stop on Payton and them right there in the goal line. We actually knew that we were going to win the game this time. And it was crazy. It was such a feeling of enjoyment. We're hugging guys. There was so much bromance on the field, I'm trying to tell you. Field of bromance. Everybody loving on each other. It was crazy. But I wouldn't replace it with anything, man. It was something special, and they can never take it away from you once you win it.
Excellent. Once again, Roman Harper, one of the top safeties in the NFL. And not only does he deliver on the field, I also wanted to touch base while we had you on the show as well, Roman, is you have your own foundation, the Harper Hope 4-1 Foundation. Can you tell the listeners a little bit how that involved and what you do with that?
Yeah, man. My mom and I started it about a year and a half ago. It's about after-school programs for kids, not so much athletically and stuff like that, more educational-wise, trying to give back, give different kids, different outlets and things to do. So many, so often in this world, like, you know, kids get in so much trouble, and it's usually when parents aren't around, you know, in between the hours of after school and when the kid, parents get home between 5:36. So we're just trying to give them different things to do, different outlets, and started back in my hometown, just trying to reach out, do as much as I can. Right now I got a reading program going on this summer, well, this, you know, this spring semester or whatever, with a couple of, like, four different schools in the state of Alabama, like third through seventh grade, and four different schools, one in my hometown, one in Marion, Alabama, one in Mobile, and one in Montgomery. And they're going to compete, big reading contest. The team, the school, the class actually that reads the most books and does all their book reports, I'm going to host a pizza party for them at the end of the year. So then the kid actually in the whole school that reads the most books and does the best, I'm going to buy them an iPod Touch for each school. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to having a good time with these kids, man, and trying to give back, man. I've been blessed with a lot in my life. So anything I can do, whether it's time or anything, you know what I mean, it just gives back a lot. And it was always fun when I used to sit back and people would always come back and talk to us too. And that's what it's about, man, just trying to give back and do the best for everybody else, you know.
Excellent. Once again, Roman Harper, and true to form, man. Class act all the way around. Super Bowl champion on and off the field, and that's the best part when you guys give back. And I mean, we were little kids once, and we know what it's like to, you know, when especially like an athlete, an NFL guy, that, and when they show that they care and they're doing what you're doing, man, you're reaching hearts and touching kids, you know, and you know that they're gonna love, you know, you're gonna make a difference, and that's all it's about. Hey, Roman, we appreciate you taking some o'clock, and best of luck with this upcoming season.
Thanks so much, man. We're gonna get this lockout done, man. You tell the fans, don't worry about it. It's gonna get handled. We're doing it. We're gonna do it the right way. So you guys take it easy, man. Thank y'all for having me.
No problem at all. That is Roman Harper, the New Orleans Saints Super Bowl champion, two-time Pro Bowler, joining us here on the clock and for the New Orleans Saints. Hey, we appreciate all you folks listening. Remember, we had Mike Triplett from the Times-Picayune on. We had Joy Bell on, and we had Roman Harper on, and we appreciate you listening. If you missed any of the show, simply go to www.nfldraftbible.com, and there you can catch up with the latest. Thanks for listening.